So we are in this series, Make Yourself. We've been, you know, going through the Gospel of John. We've been looking at these statements that I've been calling the assurance statements of Jesus. And I just wanted to, because we're in week six of this thing, I wanted to just quickly kind of give you a recap of what we've looked at and what we've talked about before I dive into today's message. It'll be a brief recap, and they're going to throw it up on the screens. But here's what we've done. We've looked at 12. I told you there was 25 of these statements. We've looked at 12 of the 25 statements, and we've gone through just different passages, and we had an assurance of greater things from John 1, and we wanted to make ourselves follow him. And then there's an assurance of eternal life in John 3, where this was his call, where it starts with believing. And then for week 3, we moved to assurance of his voice, of God's voice, where we hear and obey his voice. We want to make ourselves hear and obey his voice. And then week 4, I got to talk about the assurance of real food, and we talked about, you know, eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and that was a fun one, but how we're called to hunger and thirst for righteousness. And then, of course, last week, Patrick brought the word from John 8, and there's just this call to make ourselves holy. And so we've been diving into this. If you missed any of it, I'd encourage you to go back. And then, of course, man, if you wanted to dive in more, go back and read through these things and see what God is revealing or wanting to reveal to you about these statements and about what he wants you to have the Spirit produce in your life. Today, for week 6 of this thing, we're going to jump into John chapter 12. We're going to look at about 16 verses from this chapter. We're going to look at verses 20 all the way through 36. We're going to look at one more assurance statement. I'm deeming this one the assurance of fruitfulness. And we want to make ourselves yield for that fruitfulness. So what I want to do is I want to read through the entire passage, and then we're going to kind of break it apart. But I wanted to give you the scope of it, and then we'll go through it all. So John 12, verse 20, and it'll be on the screens for you. It says, "Now some Greeks were among those who went up to worship at the festival. So they came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and requested of him, 'Sir, we want to see Jesus.' Philip went and told Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus replied to them, 'The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I assure you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. The one who loves his life will lose it. The one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him.'" Verse 27 says, "Now my soul is troubled. What should I say? 'Father, save me from this hour?' But this is why I came to this hour. 'Father, glorify your name.' Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.' The crowd standing there heard it and said it was thunder. Others said that an angel had spoken to him. Jesus responded, 'This voice came not for me, but for you. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. As for me, if I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself.' And he said this to signify what kind of death he was about to die." And so there's a lot in here to unpack. And, you know, just throughout that, there were kind of two themes that stood out to me. Death and glory. Death and glory. And in death and glory, you will see that there's this assurance of producing fruit. So I want to unpack that. The other thing that I see once again in these statements is the same themes that have been showing up again and again and again. In each one of these statements, in each one of these conversations, he mentions himself as the Son of Man. He talks about eternal life, and he always says it requires belief. So we have those three things. Now, let's pull back a little bit and look specifically at this assurance statement. So John 12, 24. He says, "I assure you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains by itself. But if it dies, it produces much fruit." Now, we've been looking at these statements, and you know, as you read them through and you're thinking about this as a conversation, it's a bit odd. Like, this conversation with Jesus is kind of veiled in obscurity. And so there's this request from people who were at this festival to see Jesus. And Jesus replied, you see how Jesus replies right before this? He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Okay? It's not really what we were looking for, but thank you, Jesus, for sharing that. And then he goes on, and he just starts rambling on about grain falling and dying and producing crops. And it's just one of those things. Like, I put myself in the crowd's shoes. I've heard these things about Jesus, and they're wanting to see Jesus. Of course, they're probably wanting to see miracles, and they're, you know, they want to see all this stuff. And like, he makes these statements, and I'm wondering if they're just there looking with like dumbfounded, blank stares on their face. Like, what did he just say? What's he talking about? The Son of Man lifted up, glorified. And why is he talking about grain? Wait, maybe he's going to make some of that bread again. And maybe they're thinking, this whole bread thing is going to happen. This is what we came for. The bread's coming. Like, I don't know. Like, it's just such a, again, he's just, the way that he responds, it's almost like they came seeking something. And he's like, I know why you came, but I'm going to tell you what you need. I'm going to tell you what you actually need to hear and what's actually important. And so, you know, I just imagine that. And we don't really have a whole lot, like, from the responses of the crowd, but as if in an answer to their faces and potentially their confusion, Jesus expands on this idea of a grain of wheat falling and dying and producing fruit. And so he goes on, verse 25. It says, the one who loves his life will lose it, but the one who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And he says, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Where I am, there my servant also will be. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So it's just one of those things, like he tries to go, okay, I'm sharing this obscure statement, but let me kind of give you a little bit more. And so again, the crowd came looking for Jesus. And he says to them, you want to see me? You want to really seek me? In a few sentences, he says, here's what you need to do. Die to yourself. You want to follow me? Like, really follow me? Serve me. And I look at it and I go, if we're willing to die to self, then we will be like Jesus and go out into this world and do the things that Jesus did. And then once we leave this place, we will end up with Jesus. And he's like, in a roundabout way, he's saying all of these things. And so he's sharing what needs to happen. The grain needs to fall and die. It needs to be planted. You need to die to self and you need to serve. But in a moment, like, he shares this. And then he goes into this moment of like a vulnerability and transparency. So Jesus then shares, because I think he gets it, the difficulty of the request for us, for the people listening, to die to self, because that's why Jesus came, right? He came to die for us. And so he goes on after making these statements, and he says, now my soul is troubled, because he knows what's going to happen. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man. In order for, you know, there to be fruit produced, something needs to fall and die, so that there can be production. He says, I'm troubled with what I'm sharing with you. I'm troubled with what's about to happen. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour. It's the hour of his arrest, right? Of his beating, of his crucifixion, and of his death. But he goes, but that is why I came to this hour. And he follows it up. He says, Father, glorify your name. As hard as this may be, as difficult as it sounds, Father, glorify your name. And then a voice comes down from heaven. It says, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. So it's just this beautiful moment. Like, Jesus came to bring glory to the Father. And he calls us to follow him to do the same. You know, verse 28, it goes on, and it tells us that Jesus has brought glory to the Father's name and will do so again. And I don't know why, but I read through that and that just, it caught my attention. I go, okay, Jesus has brought glory to the Father and he'll do it again. And I get the again part, right? Like, we know it's all leading towards his death and his resurrection. And I fully get how that's going to bring God's glory. But I was like, okay, well, how has he glorified the Father's name already? And we could think back, like all that Jesus has done up to this point, right? All that he's done in the Father's name, there's healing, there's miracles, there's walking on water, there's feeding the masses, there's these teachings that he has. But majority of this whole passage that I'm sharing with you, it's all about Jesus' death and resurrection. And because of that, I'm thinking about glory, and I'm thinking about how God is glorified and how Jesus is glorified. I'm drawn to the miracle of Jesus raising a dead man back to life, Lazarus, right? And it's in the chapter, in John's gospel, it's in the chapter right before. In John chapter 11, verse 4, it says this, when Jesus heard it, and it was talking about Lazarus being sick and eventually going to die, he said, "This sickness will not end in death, but it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." And so if you know the story of Lazarus, he dies. A few days later, Jesus shows up, calls him to come out of the grave. He comes back to life. And I go, here is the glory shown that is mentioned in Luke 12, 20, or John 12, 28. Death resulting in resurrection brings glory to the Father, but also brings glory to the Son. And so in this moment, Jesus has shown his power over death on earth for others. And that is the glory, that's glory to the Father. And then he's going to show soon his power over death on earth for himself. And so in this moment, the Father's voice reveals the glory shown and the glory to come. And then Jesus goes on and he shares with them what he means by that and how that will happen. And so in John 12, 32, it says, "As for me, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw people to myself." And you know, John goes on and he said this to signify what kind of death he was about to die. For the people that were there, they understood what the reference of being lifted up meant. In verse 34, the crowd replied to him, "We have heard from scriptures that the Messiah will remain forever." And they go, if the Messiah is going to remain forever, then how will the Son of Man be lifted up? And so you can see in this moment, they get this reference. They understand what Jesus being lifted up means. This is a reference to Jesus being lifted up on the cross and being crucified. So if you're going to die, how are you going to remain forever? And you think about it and you go, how was God's glory shown before? It was through death and then the resurrection that came afterwards that God has shown through the most glory. And so they understood this. And so Jesus already revealed his power over death with the raising of Lazarus. And then he shares with them how he will be lifted up. Now they're just thinking, again, about the physical. And I think through this whole thing, Jesus has been saying, yes, there's a physical aspect to this, but I want you to also see that there's a spiritual aspect to this as well. So there's not just one way that Jesus will be lifted up. No, Jesus will be lifted up, and it's threefold. Three ways that Jesus will be lifted up. Ready? First, he's lifted up on the cross. And through his death, God is glorified. He's lifted up from the grave, right? And through that, God is glorified. And then the third and final way, you ready? He's then lifted up into heaven. And God is glorified. And so he's in one fell swoop, in one sentence, he's going, I'm going to be lifted up. You're going to think one thing, but I'm going to show you many things. I'm going to show you three things. I'm going to show you my power over death and the resurrection to come and the spirit that will be given to you. And so, like, again, you go back, how did this conversation begin? People wanted to see Jesus. And if we look back through this story, it's like people wanted to see his miracles. They wanted to see him perform stuff. They wanted to see him do something. They wanted to see the signs. And Jesus says, you will see the Son of Man lifted up, and the Father will be glorified. And so within this conversation, we hear about how Jesus' life and his coming death glorify the Father. But it's one of those things, like we can't miss Jesus' call for those of us who believe to follow his example of death and glory. In John 12, verses 25, we're called to die to self. in that assurance statement, he says, I assure you, unless a grain of wheat falls and dies and is planted, it can't produce fruit. And so we see this call to die. But then if we go back one chapter and we go into verse 25 of John chapter 11, guess what Jesus says about himself? He says, I am the resurrection and the life. And he says, the one who believes in me, ready for it, even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die ever. And then he says, do you believe this? You see, Jesus calls us to die, but he also says, even in death, we live. And what does it require for that to take place? What is it? Anyone know what it requires for us to live? Come on, say it. Belief. Once again, he's like, just you believe. And he says it three times. He's like, believe in me, believe in me. Do you believe this? You got to believe this. And what I'm telling you is I have power over death. There is resurrection life, and it is through me. And so here's the case. Belief in Jesus, followed by a life lived for the glory of God, will result in resurrection life. Life eternal. We may die here, but if we believe in him who God sent and we live to bring the glory to the Father, we will receive eternal life. And it's a beautiful promise. He's like, this is what I came. You guys came to see something else, and I'm telling you there's something so much better that is coming. Now, all of these assurance statements that I've shared with you, ultimately, they are declaring who Jesus is and what Jesus came to do. All of them are in an effort to help everyone believe in him. And we can read through these statements and get a better understanding of who Jesus is, of his divinity, of his mission, of what he came to do. But it's not just that we look and go, that's cool that Jesus did that. No, as followers, we are called to model our lives after him. Now, we won't be lifted up as Jesus was lifted up, nor for the purposes that he was lifted up to accomplish. But if we're called to follow our Savior and our Lord, that means we are called to lift up our own lives, right? Verse 26, it says, follow and serve me. And it says at the very end, and you will be honored by the Father. And I go, it'll be the Father lifting you up, right? Lifted up in God's sight. And so I tie this back to this assurance statement. Because you see all this play out, and Jesus is such a master of making these things all come and work together and helping you understand all these things. So he says, a seed's got to fall, it's got to die, and then it'll be planted. And until it's willing to fall and die and be planted, it can't produce fruit. But when it's willing to yield, there will be a production of fruit. And so there we go. Jesus is saying, my willingness is that I'm going to fall, I am going to die, and I am going to be resurrected. I'm going to produce fruit through the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers. And it's this beautiful thing where he goes, I'm going to do so much. And I just love that it says it will produce much fruit. Because Jesus knows that he's going to die and he's going to be resurrected and he's going to ascend and he's going to send the Spirit down and the Spirit is going to enter into those who believe in him and fruit will go out and multiply throughout all of the earth. But here's the deal. Jesus did all this, right, to give us the Spirit and the Spirit can produce fruit. And this is so important. The Spirit of God cannot be planted in hearts and minds that are unyielding to the will of God. And this is so important. I think the reason why it's so important, because it's even to the point of death. The Spirit of God cannot be planted in a heart and mind that is unyielding to the will of God, especially when it calls you to sacrifice and die to yourself. And we got to understand, like, if we want to live the way that Jesus did, we got to do the things that Jesus did. And the first thing that Jesus did, you ready for this? He yielded his life to the will of God, even to the point of death. And so I want to show you this. I want to show you this path that Jesus gives to us, right? Like first he yields, and then he dies, and then he's raised back to life. And he's lifted up on the cross, and he's lifted up from the grave, and he's lifted up into heaven. And as he does that, he gives us the Spirit, right? And so we've already said all that. And so now for you and I, here is the path of a fruitful seed. So the first thing we got to do is we got to yield to God's will. And if we're going to yield to God's will, guess what needs to be surrendered? Our will. That's a big part of it. It's the first part of it. If you're not willing to surrender or give up what you want or what you're desiring or what you're seeking, you will never live your life for God. So you got to yield all of it, everything. Yield to God's will. And as you yield to God's will, you're going to come to find out really quickly, the second thing is going to call you to die to yourself. There's a denial of all that you are and all that your sinful self desires. And so then that goes, our life, our selfishness, our sinfulness is then crucified like Christ. And so we yield to God's will. We die to self. And then the third thing that happens when we're willing to do both of those things, guess what? We are raised to new life in Christ. We are resurrected with Christ. We're brought back in Christ. And then after those three things, the fourth thing that comes is where the production of fruit begins, right? Because the Spirit, we receive the Spirit. And the Spirit then dwells within us. And when the Spirit is within you, guess what's going to flow out of you? Fruit. You're going to begin to produce fruit. And as you produce fruit from the Spirit, guess who's going to be glorified? The Father. And you begin to see, like, this is what Jesus lived and modeled and showed us. And this is what Jesus called us to. Yielding. Dying. Resurrection life, receiving the Spirit, producing fruit. You see, the seed or the heart and the mind that yields to the Father receives the Spirit, produces fruit. And we know what kind of fruit the Spirit produces, don't we, right? Galatians 5, the fruits of the Spirit are love and joy and peace and patience and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and gentleness, and self-control. I think in order for the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, the seeds of self and the seeds of sin must be yielded by us. I want to show you what this looks like, and I want to show you the power of what it means to yield something to God so that it can be replaced and transformed into something to bring glory to God. And so there are these seeds that we yield to God to then produce fruit. And so if you yield a seed of hate to God's will, guess what will come out of that? Love. You yield the fear, it'll produce peace. Yield the seed of doubt, it'll produce faith. Yield bitterness, it'll produce gentleness. Yield anxiousness, it'll produce patience. Yield greed, it'll produce goodness. Yield depression, it'll produce joy. Yield anger, it'll produce kindness. Yield the seed of selfishness, it will produce self-control. You see how it works? And I'm connecting all of these things to the fruit of the Spirit that are listed out in Galatians 5, but it can keep going. There are so many different things. Like it's about yielding the seed of pride so that God can produce humility. It's about yielding the seed of addiction so that God can produce freedom. We yield the seed of longing and God produces satisfaction in him. We yield the seed of loneliness and God produces comfort. We yield striving after all these things to God, and the Spirit produces rest. You see, we will need to yield different seeds in different seasons. It's one of those things, like, there's this reminder that comes here. Like, you got to die to self Right? Jesus says in Luke 9:23 to take up your cross daily, deny yourself and follow him. And there's a reason why it's like this is something that has to be done daily, because every day you're going to deal with something. There's going to be something that you need to yield to the Father's will so that he can produce the good fruit that brings him glory. And so every day we examine in our lives, what haven't we yielded? What's attempting to creep into our heart, into our mind, that wants us to focus on it, over pursuit of the Father? And so what we do is every day we examine these things. And we say, what do I need to yield? What am I seeking after that isn't bringing glory to God? I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to deny those thoughts. I'm going to deny my desires. I'm going to yield those things to the will of the Father so that my life, my words, my actions, my relationship, my job can bring him glory. So Jesus, he gives us this assurance that, again, it's a little bit obscure. But as you read through and you begin to factor in all these things that he's already said, all the things that he's already done, all the things that we know are going to happen, he says, this is what I'm going to do, but this is what I'm going to call you to do. A seed must fall, die, and be planted in order to produce fruit. And so as we move to closing out today, my question to you becomes this. What seed do you need to plant in the soil of God's grace and forgiveness? I mean, really think about that. I've given you a list of some. Maybe it's loss. Maybe it's a seed of unmet expectations. Maybe it's a seed of failed provisions or hardship that you're going through or some conflict that you're dealing with. Maybe it's just a relationship in your life that you need to yield to God. Maybe for some of us, it's just control, trying to control what's happening, trying to control the outcome. What do you need to yield to the soil of God's grace and forgiveness? And I look at these things, and I think we know this, but I think it's such a good reminder that we do this on the daily, because we are called to yield these things that we go through, that we experience. And as we take these seeds and we plant them in the Word, and we allow the light of Jesus to shine on them, and they are watered by the Spirit, guess what happens? Whatever the seed was there that we've yielded over to God, it will be transformed, it will be broken, it will be renewed, and God will do something great through it. And our willingness to yield allows transformation to happen in our lives, to bring God glory, and to help show others the grace and forgiveness that God has for them so that their lives can also bring him glory. I'm going to ask that you would bow your heads, close your eyes as we close out our time today. Really begin to think about that that question. Jesus calls us to die to self. He calls us to fall, to die, to be planted, to produce fruit. What seed in your life are you still holding on to? What desire? What pursuit? What relationship? What outcome right now, whatever the Spirit has revealed to you, yield it to the Father. If you're hurting, if you're broken, if you're lost, if you're lonely, yield it to the Father. Because only Jesus has the power to resurrect those things. Only Jesus has the power to restore those things. We don't always understand what we go through, why we go through it. But man, if we yield it, the good, the bad, the hard, the difficult, all of it, if we yield it, it can be used to bring God glory. As we follow him, as we serve him, as we yield our lives to him, not only will it bring God glory, but Jesus says, the Father will honor you. What a powerful promise that is. But Jesus shows us what it requires. A heart and mind that is yielded to the will of the Father. God, this command to die to self, to take up our cross, to be lifted up in the ways that Christ was, is hard. But we know that through the Spirit that we are given and belief in the Son, we can overcome. So I pray right now against any resistance. The person that's still holding on to bitterness and resentment, that they would yield it. To the person that is drowning in sorrow, that they would yield it. To the person whose life has been a state of constant conflict and turmoil, that they would yield it. To the person who's lost hope for that relationship, they would yield it to you. And in the yielding, God, may your Spirit cover them. Bring them peace. Let them know that in the end, a life yielded to you will result in glory. And so that's what we hold on to. We don't enjoy the things we have to go through, that we have to deal with. But God, we believe that all of it, if surrendered to you, man, you can make it into something beautiful and good. Because in you and in your Son, there is resurrection life. May we believe that today. In all circumstances, in all cases, may we believe that today and yield fully. Heart, our mind, our life, our relationships, all of it to you. Let us be like your Son and live like your Son and experience the things that your Son experienced. God, continue to move in us, continue to renew us, continue to transform us. May we daily choose to deny ourselves, to take up our cross, and follow you. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.